puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Yes, but where in Manitoba will we go today with Gordon Goldsborough from the Manitoba Historical Society for the latest episode of Abandoned Manitoba? Hello.
Good morning, Terry.
So your clue last week, so we were talking about a railway bridge last week in Brandon, the 8th Street, and you wanted to talk about a railway bridge that was designed to pivot?
That's right.
So what's this?
Well, if you think of the bridges in Winnipeg here, many of the older ones especially were designed to accommodate the ships on the river. You know, if a ship wanted to go under the bridge, if it couldn't quite make it, they would actually lift the bridge or turn the bridge in some way to allow the ship to pass. And of course, nowadays we don't have enough ships that really warrant that, so the bridges don't do that anymore. Well, we're going to look at a railway bridge over the Fairford River. Now, the Fairford River, you may or may not know, is the only major outlet to Lake Manitoba. And in fact, we learned that to our horror in 2011 when we had that catastrophic flood on Lake Manitoba, that the only way to lower the lake was to increase the outflow.
I remember
somehow.
That. Yeah.
So there's been recurring concern about the water going out of the Fairford River and how we could get more of it out. Well, the bridge that goes across this river, the Fairford River, is designed to pivot. And the reason was that they needed, again, to accommodate ships that would go up and down the Fairford River. Or at least they thought they had to accommodate ships. But because of the history of the flooding on the lake, it probably never operated. Or if it did, it was used once.
Now, when you say pivot, it was designed to turn sideways, right?
That's right. The bridge was built in three sections. The sections adjacent to the land did not pivot. They were fixed. But the one in the center was on a pedestal, basically, that could turn 90 degrees so that the entire central section, the central section is made of sort of steel trusses. It looks somewhat like the bridge, well, the original 8th Street Bridge in Brandon or the present Arlington Bridge in Winnipeg, these sort of truss bridges. It was designed to basically turn 90 degrees and then that would allow a ship to go underneath.
When was this built?
Well, I can't tell exactly. I think it was built sometime around 1910. But to sort of set the stage, we need to go back a little bit to just say a little bit about the history of flooding on Lake Manitoba. Of course, people who had the experience in 2011 think that that was pretty bad, and it was. They say it was perhaps a 1 in 300 or a 1 in 400 year flood. But another one of these catastrophic floods occurred in 1881. In fact, earlier we talked about the ghost town of Totogan over on the White Mud River, and it was in fact devastated by that flood of 1881. So in the aftermath, the federal government looked into ways they could try to lower Lake Manitoba because they realized that the Fairford River was always going to be a bit of a problem. And they didn't really come up with a solution until the 1890s when they just concluded that a channel would do the trick. So they went in and between 1899 and 1901, they dredged another channel out of the Fairford, thinking that would solve the problem. Well, of course, it didn't. We know it's caused recurring flooding throughout the 20th century. The ships that were operating on Lake Manitoba, the ones that were carrying cargo, for example, the gypsum that was mined up around Gypsumville, it really wasn't a great way to move things on the lake. Because, of course, it can only be used during summertime. So eventually they thought, well, maybe a railway would be the way to go. So in 1910, the Canadian Northern, which is the predecessor to the Canadian National, built a railway line up to Gypsumville, and therefore there was really no need then to use ships on the lake anymore. And that was pretty much the end of lake shipping on Lake Manitoba. Well, that's why then the bridge, which was designed for the presumption that there would still be ships running on Lake Manitoba, probably never operated, because by the time that it was built, they really weren't needing ships anymore. So, in fact, the last two ships that operated on Lake Manitoba, the one called the Marvel and one called the J.R. Spear, they were decommissioned and taken down the Fairford River over to Lake Winnipeg in 1915. So if this bridge, this pivotal bridge, was ever used, it was probably used once for those last two ships in 4 years after it was built, and then it was never used again. So, in fact, if you look at the bridge today, the mechanism to move it is gone. They probably removed that because, well, to be honest, the bridge is no longer even necessary to pivot, even if there was a ship, because the river itself is not navigable anymore. Because if you think about it, if you take Highway 6 up through the Interlake, you will cross over a control structure. And that control structure was built in the early 1960s to control water levels on Lake Manitoba. And so now if you had a ship going up the Fairford River, you would get to this control structure and you couldn't go any further. So, as I say, there was really no need for that bridge to pivot.
In what kind of shape is it now?
Well, it's actually pretty remarkable. I was there about 2 years ago and the approaches are in remarkable shape. In fact, it looks to me like people are using it as a pedestrian bridge, although I'd be a little hesitant, I think.
So it's permanently unpivoted now.
It's permanently unpivoted. The central section, the part that was designed to pivot, it does not have retaining walls on it. So if you walked across, and of course there are spaces between the ties, you look down and like, ooh, it's a long way down. You could conceivably fall off. What's interesting, though, is that the railway line itself has been abandoned, and the rails for that line have been removed. But the rails are still on the bridge. So I don't know why they left them on the bridge. You know, there's no rails up to it. There's no rails leading away from it. But right on the bridge, there's still these, you know, two steel rails.
How wide is the river at this point?
Oh, there's a good question.
Just a guess.
100 feet across.
Okay. Yeah. The bridge is now left, and can we get to it?
Oh, yeah. I went to a nice old Anglican church that's on the south shore not far from it. In fact, I didn't really notice the bridge at first. I went to check out this nice old church, and then on the way back, I thought, oh, nice old bridge, too. And I went to look at it, and I went, oh, it pivots. But I thought, well, why would it have to pivot? Because it makes no sense. The dam prevents you from taking a ship up. And I thought, wait a minute, that probably means the bridge is older than the control structure. And of course, doing a little research, found out, oh yeah, 1910, definitely.
Very good sleuthing work there, Gordon.
Mm.
And so where are you taking us next week?
Well, we're going to go consider a very rare building. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we talked, and I remember you had asked me where I was headed, and I was somewhat cryptic. I said I couldn't spoil the surprise, and I said I was heading out to a place northeast of Brandon. So that's where we're going next week, a rare building that was involved in the shipment of grain before we used grain elevators.
Before we used them?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't know we used anything before we used grain elevators. Good to know.
Find out next week.
Look forward to it. Thank you so much, Gordon.
You're welcome, Terry.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Weekend Morning Show. Historian Gordon Goldsborough from the Manitoba Historical Society is here every Sunday with fascinating stories about lost and forgotten places in our province. You can explore other places on the Manitoba Historical Society website, mhs.mb.ca. And many of you have been asking for more Abandoned Manitoba, and Gordon and Great Plains Publishing are about to give you that. Watch for the release of Gordon's book called Abandoned Manitoba, based on this radio series. It's being launched October 25th at McNally Robinson.